You are listening to WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Youngstown, New York.
The Paranormal News Insider from ParanewsInsider.com. Produced by WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Youngstown, York.
Welcome to the Paranormal News Insider for the week of August 29th, 2017, and episode number 328. And this is your host, as always, Dr. Brian D. Parsons. I want to do a quick, I don't know why I'm doing this lately, but I'm going to do a quick happy birthday shout out to Sean Forker, who is going to be having a new show here on WCJV. And yesterday, Jim Mallard had his birthday as well. He was in the chat room last night during Colin Schneider's show, The Crypto Kid. I don't know. So happy birthday, guys. And it's weird, I keep doing these birthday things. But anyway, this week's news, we got some interesting stuff tonight, a lot of stuff. It doesn't look like a lot when I'm looking at this, but it's a ton of information coming your way tonight. Chicago Phantom reports continue. And just when I thought I had everything down, another one popped up. I got an instant message from Lon, and I'm like, oh my goodness, even more sightings. So breaking news, essentially. Tonight, multiple reports. I have four different reports involving seven different people that have just come forward. So that's some interesting stuff. Crop circles. Yeah, conspiracy with crop circles. We don't do a whole lot of crop circle stories, but tonight, crop circles are going to take us in a weird, weird direction. We're going to be talking about Nibiru. Can't stand that word. And we're going to talk a giant asteroid flying by on Friday. Did you know about that? Well, we hope it flies by. And we're going to be talking about Minority Report. Remember that movie? What's going to become a reality? And if I have some time to cram it in there, we're going to be talking a little bit about the R word. The R word. Well, that's religion. Oh my gosh. I swear I've never talked about religion or politics on the show, but tonight I'm going to open the book and I'm going to throw it. Because we're going to get into it. And we'll also have the book of the week, which actually, believe it or not, ties into religion. And tonight, also, a major announcement. That's all I'm going to say. A major announcement tonight, sometime during the show. You don't know when. And that's how we radio people get you to listen to an entire show. We tease you with this little thing, a major announcement, something that's never been done before. You're going to find out about it here tonight. And this week's news is brought to you by Thomas Francis University. Thomas Francis University is a metaphysics school that offers online spiritually based bachelor's, master's, and PhD doctoral metaphysical degrees, as well as single standalone courses in related metaphysical and esoteric topics. Instructors are easily accessible and offer world-class customer service and instruction. TFU and other ICMH schools have hundreds of students and graduates in more than 50 countries worldwide. For more information on Thomas Francis University, please visit tfuniversity.org. And my goodness, there's a lot of... My first segment here is called Anomalous Notes. And boy, oh boy, it's full here. Quick shout here. My latest book, Handbook for the Amateur UFO Investigator, is now available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and a few other places if you live in other countries other than the United States, Canada, and the United Kingdom. You can get it in other foreign languages. Not the book itself, but through other online resources. And I still prefer if you buy them through the Lulu site. And if you want to order the book between now and August 31st, through Lulu, LULU.com. If you go to paranewsinsider.com, there's a link there that'll take you right to that book page where all of my books are sold through Lulu.com. If you buy one of my books, again, between now and August 31st, and you enter in Lulu15, LULU15, you can get 15% off my books. Yeah. WCJV has an app. Didn't know. I bet you didn't know that, did you? No, we've never talked about that ever. Not once. I'm just kidding. Yes, we talk about it. I try to mention this at least twice. An app is great because, I mean, who doesn't have an app on their phone? iOS devices, iPhones, your iPads, all that stuff, as well as Android devices. So you can listen to the show while you're on the go, while you're working. Hey, I'm fine with that. If you want to listen to me talk while you're working, absolutely. Tell your boss I said it's okay. It's fine. It's safe. You'll still hear the fire alarm if it goes off. Perfectly fine. In your car, you can listen to it in your car, wherever you're at the pool, at the beach, on your cruise. I don't know where you're at, but have fun and listen to the WCJV digital app available at the App Store or Google Play Store. Get it after the show's over. And you can listen to another show tonight, which I'm going to mention here in a second. See what I did there. New show is coming soon. Thursday, September 7th, the debut of Arcane Radio with Sean Forker. Happy birthday, Sean. Butch Witkowski and Lon Strickler. And their guest is going to be Timothy Renner, author and researcher on cryptids, Mothman, and Bigfoot. Then Friday, September 8th at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, the premiere of Hot Rod Paranormal Radio with host John Halea. But that's not all, as they say. Tonight, Tuesday night, August 29th, a premiere, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central. You got to hear this tonight. I'm staying up extra late. I'm going to have my Jam Jams on. I'm going to listen. It's past my bedtime, but I'm staying up anyway. Chris DeCesare and Phil Casey present Surviving Evidence. And tonight, their guest will be J. Jeff Unger. Again, 9 p.m. Eastern tonight. So you get a little bit of a break after my show. I don't know. Maybe I'll carry it on all night. No, I won't. I'll lose my voice. Anyway, so listen tonight. I'll repeat this information here probably at the bottom of the hour here. And we got to jump. We got to go. We got to move. So we're going to jump into some cryptid news. And of course, what's been leading off cryptid news lately for, I don't know, the last 2 months or so? No, not that. Chicago Phantom, that's what. Now, we got four stories here. And this first one starts when a woman and her two friends observed the Chicago Phantom, or large bat humanoid, whatever you want to call it, while getting ready to observe the eclipse. Now, I knew this was going to happen. Lots of people out. You know, I expected a ton of UFO stories. Only a few. But the Chicago Phantom, I was kind of hopeful with a lot of people being outside. Granted, they only had a partial eclipse, but I knew there would be a lot of people out looking around. And I was hopeful that somebody would report the Chicago Phantom. So back on August 21st, I know where I was at, around 1:15 p.m. Central Time, the witness heard what sounded like squeaky truck brakes twice before seeing a large creature flying over the docks near Burnham Harbor. They stated they observed the creature for over a minute and a half as it flapped its wings and flew out towards Soldier Field. The witness stated that this creature was much larger than the eagles she grew up with in Alaska. That's cool. She grew up with eagles. Okay. What a shame, though, that no one actually photographed the creature during this sighting, which is kind of perplexing. I mean, I'd hoped that there would be a sighting during the eclipse. And again, while I observed the total eclipse, it was down in Franklin, Kentucky. I mean, everybody there had either a camera or their phone in hand. I mean, everybody did. Well, granted, we were able to observe it with, you know, without those cool, fancy, schmancy glasses that blocked out all of the light. And Chicago only witnessed a partial eclipse. I'm like, come on, man, you still got your phone with you. Anyway, I'm going to post the link to that story in the chat room as I do, as long as I remember. So if you're in the chat room or you're listening in live, you can go to the chat room at wcjvradio.com. Click on the, listen/join chat now link. It's blue. It sticks out. Or you can just enter in wcjvradio.com/live.html and listen live. It's a full house tonight. You're going to have to stand. Sorry. You have to stand. There's nowhere to sit in the chat room. That's a joke. Man, lighten up. Gotcha. I see you. Anyway, another Chicago phantom sighting. This one, kind of special in a way. I don't know. Maybe it's not. This is the 40th documented sighting of the Chicago Phantom, this particular individual story. And this one took place at Wicker Park, well, the Wicker Park neighborhood near downtown Chicago on Monday, August 21st, around 8:20 p.m. Central Time. This is a little bit of a scary report. It's interesting. This kind of takes a little different direction from a lot of the reports we've been seeing. And this one reads as follows, directly off Lon Strickler's phantomsandmonsters.com site, which carries all of these stories, by the way. And it says, quote, witness states she took a call in the bedroom in her apartment, and she lives in a third floor unit. So she's three stories up. The window in the bedroom overlooks the backyard of a building next door. To the right of this window, about 5 to 6 feet away, is the neighbor's roof. It's not close enough for anyone to reach her window unaided. There is no balcony or ladder up to my window as well. About midway through the phone call, out the window, which was to her right, with the curtain and drapes pulled aside, out of the corner of her eye, she saw what looked like a human-shaped shadow from the mid-torso up in the window. As soon as she turned to look, the shadow moved unnaturally fast to the left and up and out of sight. Its movement gave the impression it was taking off to fly, and it looked like it used the wall of her building to jump up and away. The shadow was dark gray when it moved. Its body was large enough to block a substantial amount of light, giving her the impression it was long and tall. The whole experience had to be under 10 seconds, but left the witness very unnerved. She had run out of the bedroom, trying to explain what she saw over the phone. Unquote. I don't know. It sounded scary when I read it. After a few minutes, the witness returned to the room and shut the blinds and did not see anything else. Spooky. Spooky. Let me get that link in there. And if you're not listening live, that's no big deal. During the week, I will be putting out these links to all these stories through my social media outlets, primarily Facebook. Facebook is, for me, is tied into my Twitter. So anything I post on Facebook goes right into my Twitter feed. And all that is Paranews Insider. So facebook.com/Paranews Insider and on Twitter at Paranews Insider. I don't know, just like everything to be the same. I don't know, weird like that. So this third report here this week is the 41st report of the Chicago Phantom, and this one took place on August 22nd at around 4:55 p.m. Central Time. The witness saw a winged creature that he described as a giant bat fly over a Shell gas station. Huh, a little free advertising. The whole sighting lasted only a few seconds, and he was not able to get a photograph. I can understand that. The sighting occurred very close to the original sighting back on August 22nd of 2011. Ooh, coincidence? And, you know, I thought about this. You know, people always complain, well, you know, everyone has a phone. How come they don't take a picture? Well, I had a funny thing. I was actually thinking about the Chicago Phantom story and taking pictures, and I was walking. I was at a local park, walking down a path, paved path, and just happened to see out of the corner of my eye something move, and this little mouse ran right out in front of me all the way across the path. It took about almost 4 or 5 seconds to get across the path. I had my phone in my hand. I didn't even get a picture of it. So I totally get that. I totally understand it. And, you know, when you have that perspective of, come on, man, you had a phone. Why didn't you take a picture? It's not always easy to react when you see something, especially when you're trying to figure out what you're seeing. I mean, I saw it and identified what I saw quickly as a mouse, and I wanted to take a picture, but I'm just kind of watching it. And if I were to see a 6 to 8 foot tall creature with 10 foot, 12 foot large wings, I'm going to be, I mean, for me speaking, I want to observe as much as I can. Taking a picture, plus I'd probably be freaked out. I mean, so I get it. I understand. But any sighting that lasts more than, I don't know, 30, 40 seconds, I don't know. I don't know. Well, anyway, last but not least, this is an interesting, again, a different dynamic on these sightings, because this case has three separate witnesses that have come forward. And this is late breaking. This one just came out essentially, I think, about 2 o'clock, 2:30, something like that. Three separate witnesses have come forward describing their own unique sightings occurring at different times at the same location. And this location is a freeway exit, of all places. Not a safe place to be taking a picture when you're getting off the freeway, especially in Chicago. I don't recommend it. Now, the first sighting occurred on August 22nd at 4:30 p.m. Central Time. The driver witnessed the creature as he exited I-55 and saw the creature over the Des Plaines River. Yeah, that's how you say it. The creature was described on phantomsandmonsters.com as, quote, dark brown and black with thick glistening hair on the body. The wings were bat-like with very long arms and claws attached to the wings. The legs extended from the back and were together. The head was very small, but there was a distinct ridge that ran across the top of the head along the back. The body was quite thin and long, estimated at 6 to 7 feet in length. The wings were very wide and spanned at least 10 feet. It was flying along the north bank of the river near the exit overpass, flapping its wings in a slow, deliberate motion as it moved downstream. Unquote. It's pretty descriptive, and it's interesting about the claws there. I don't remember that before, but I've seen that now a couple of times described in these latest sightings. The second sighting of this bunch occurred on August 28th by a delivery driver who worked with the previous witness at the same trucking company. And this witness described seeing a, quote, large man with wings, unquote, while exiting the freeway and looking out again over the same area at the Des Plaines River at around 1:15 p.m. Central Time. Now, a third witness, a woman who did not have anything to do with the trucking company, came forward to say that she saw a creature as well over the same freeway exit and described seeing the same creature, essentially the same description as these other two people, at around 1 p.m. Central Time on August 23rd. Weird. Interesting. And I don't know what else. It's really weird to have the same exact place. Not to me. I think I'm camping out on that bridge, or I'm going to be camping out in that area. Wish I was in that area. You're talking a few days expand from 6 days of time that this creature has been seen in the same area. Something's up with that. Now, these three sightings that I mentioned have actually been lumped into one sighting report, which makes sense since it's the same exact area, even though it's stretched out again over 6 days of time. And so that's the 42nd sighting going back to 2011 that had three back in 2011. So the rest have occurred this year. And let me I'll throw that last link in there. And I also want to mention that, again, if you've had the Google Map link that Lon Strickler created to keep track of all these sightings. If you have the original link, it's the same link. You can link up to it, keep it in your favorites folder, keep it somewhere, because as he updates these sightings, that map will also update. And when you click on the left-hand side where it has everything listed, it's all in sequential order. So it's not in, I should say, sequential order of cases received, not in sequential order of dates of these reports. As you click on them, you'll see it on the big map. If you click on the left-hand side, it opens up essentially the report, and you can click on the link on those reports and go to the actual page where all those that individual one is, and you can see photographs, Google Earth pictures essentially of these locations, and as well as more specific maps and areas. If you're really interested in digging into this, Alan's done a spectacular job of archiving every sighting, and as well as interviewing some of these people. He's, well, I guess most of these people, trying to get a hold of them and find out exactly what they saw so we can document this, or he can document this, and done a fantastic job. And there is the link in the chat room to the Google Maps. And again, if you're not in the chat room, I will be putting that out during the week so you can get a hold of that link and check that map out for yourself. It's getting a little spooky, I'm not going to lie. 42 sightings, that's quite a bit. It's getting up there with some of these more fantastic stories that have taken place over the years in UFOs and cryptozoology. It reminds me of the Bigfoot UFO flap of the 70s in Pennsylvania. And, well, let's move along. I don't have any UFO news or even ghost news. Yeah, there's been, let me just mention this. There's been a couple of videos popping up in the ghost area. People claiming to see ghosts. The one in, where was that, New Mexico, where the couple, I don't know what's spookier, image of this thing walking from the left to right in that, or the fact that they were videotaping themselves as they were eating dinner. I don't know. I don't think I'd feel comfortable doing that. It's a little awkward. But apparently, they had a break-in recently, so they're a little paranoid about that. And that's why they have the cameras in there. At least that's what somebody said. I didn't research that. Apparently, it was on their Facebook site, the personal Facebook of the woman of the home. And I don't know. I don't think that was really a ghost. It's described as looking like a person, but it's not a person. It's a ghost. Okay. I don't know how we jumped to that conclusion, but it's probably just a person that was cutting through the neighborhood. If you look at the home on Google Maps, it's pretty plain to see that the person probably just kind of cut across, and they're jumping to conclusions. Now, there's a couple of other videos. I don't remember off the top of my head, but they were kind of like a little weird. I'm not sure. If they get viral, we'll talk about them. But until then, nah, there's probably some logical explanation to those as well. Even if it is a ghost, how do we know? How do we prove it? You really can't. You can only potentially disprove it. So, I don't know. But let's talk some crops, man. Let's talk crops. Crop circles. I don't know what you were thinking. A crop circle in England, my goodness, this one sighting creating all kinds of havoc and a lot of theorizing. Last week, this crop circle appeared as a series of circles within each other, along with a triangular shape coming out of them, which also included some other odd shapes that people thought were words. I'm not sure if I took a picture of that. Oh, yes, I do. I have a picture here. I'll load that picture up in the chat room here in a second. Some say the shape appeared like a radio tower or as the Death Star from Star Wars shooting a beam and destroying a planet. Oh, good grief. Was this something for us? Is this a message? As the circle was seen just days prior to the total eclipse seen in the United States, many people speculated the circles were meant to reflect the sun and moon, although to me it didn't really look like much of an eclipse. I don't know. call me crazy. Did you call me crazy? Don't call me crazy. I'm a little crazy, I guess. A video of the crop circle was uploaded to YouTube by the conspiracy theory website Secure Team 10. And every time I say Secure Team 10, they are essentially a hoax website. So don't take anything you see on their site as serious. 99.99%. Well, okay, let's just upgrade that to 100% of all their stuff has been debunked with logical explanations. They're just basically just clickbait. Don't even go there. Many bogus hoaxed videos. Again, not a trusted source of any information, in my opinion. But it's this story that really gets things moving, gets things rolling, essentially, with this crop circle. It started all kinds of destruction and mayhem here. But there's a – in the chat room, you see there on the right-hand side is an aerial photograph of the crop circle. It doesn't really look like a crop circle to me. It's just kind of a weird shape. And on the left there is a photograph of an eclipse. Total eclipse. Totally. So I don't see it. I don't know. It does kind of look like the Death Star. I think that's kind of cool. And there was something I read also about an anniversary or something with Star Wars too. I wonder if that had something to do with it. I don't know. Anyway, this crop circle has, my goodness, caused a lot of controversy. But before I get into that controversy, I want to let you know that you're tuned in to WCJV Digital Broadcasting from Youngstown, New York, emanating live at WCJVradio.com. And you're listening to the Paranormal News Insider with your host, Dr. Brian D. Parsons. And I mentioned it earlier, and I'll mention it again. Premiere tonight. Be sure to tune in tonight after the Paranormal News Insider is over. You can hang out in the chat room. Dade will buy you popcorn, all the food you want. You can kick back and relax. You have a little bit of a layover, but that's fine. Get ready. Tonight, premiere. Chris DeCesare and Phil Casey present Surviving Evidence. Sounds like a really cool show. Their guest is going to be J. Jeff Unger again tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, right here on WCJV Digital Broadcasting at WCJVRadio.com. Tomorrow night, Wednesday night, you can catch Paranormal Experienced with host Kat Hobson as she talks with Shelley Burke Robertson. Again, Paranormal Experienced with host Kat Hobson Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central. And again, to mention, two more shows going to debut. I guess that's next week already. My goodness, September is upon us. Thursday, September 7th, is the debut of Arcane Radio with Sean Forker, Butch Witkowski, and Lon Strickler. And their guest is going to be Timothy Renner, author, researcher of cryptids, Mothman, and Bigfoot. And Friday, September 8th, another new show, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, the premiere of Hot Rod Paranormal Radio with host John Helea. Wow, a lot of great shows, I'm telling you. Download the app. You're going to need it. Trust me, you're going to need the app. So back to this crop circle in England. One story popped up, again, about speculation. About the what it's for, what it symbolizes. And some people, they got a little carried away. I mean, is it a sign of something going to happen? Are we going to get blown up? Well, not to be outdone, more stories about this crop circle, which appeared close to England's Southend Airport. Further thoughts on this crop circle? Yeah, it seemed to point in the direction that it is a definite sign, not my words, their words, you didn't see the air quotes, that the planet Nibiru, or Planet X, will soon destroy Earth. That's right, it's over. This crop circle alone proves it. It's validated now, I guess. This is what they're saying. Yeah, we're done because of this crop circle. Nibiru is going to crash into Earth and we're done. I don't know what else to say. Earlier this year, amateur stargazer and Christian numerologist David Mead predicted Nibiru would appear in the skies on September 23rd, 2017. I don't know how he figured that out. He's better than astronomers, I guess. He said that the planet would then crash into Earth or at least get extremely close. And all of this speculation is based, again, on numerology and essentially guessing using the number 33. So 33 days after August 21st, let's see, carry the one, 31, two toes, September 23rd. So yeah, that's how we came to this conclusion. So it's all based on numbers. Yeah, but it's not over with. Not only is it predicting that this planet, this mystery planet that no one's been able to see or find, that's supposed to be, you know, super, super huge and it's creeping up on, you know, on Earth. I guess it's like, you know, on the Transformers or it's hiding behind the moon. I don't know how it works. The funniest thing about this is now, kind of to get away from the crop circle, we're going to kind of focus on this Nibiru. A lot of people are claiming to already see it. A lot of people are photographing this when they're taking pictures of the sun, which just to preface this, I don't recommend taking pictures of the sun. It's not good for your eyes. I think you've learned that during the total eclipse. A lot of people were talking about this. And it's also not good for your camera. It can damage your camera. But people are doing it anyway. That's fine. The purported planet looks bright, just like the sun. A lot of people have seen this, and some photos are pretty cool. They look kind of convincing. But it's actually just a lens flare. Sorry, most of this. Some of it, I think, are actual doctored photographs, in my opinion. But most of these are just lens flare. If you take a picture of a bright object like that, you're going to get lens flares. It's just, I'm sorry, it just happens. Now, if the planet were getting closer, you think you're just going to see it during the day? I think you'd see it much more at night. I mean, a giant planet. Think of moon, the moon flying, you know, it's in the sky. The sun reflects off of it. We can see it, sunlight. I think we'd see a big, ginormous planet. I think it'd be kind of hard to hide. In the night sky. I mean, what does it do? Just hang around the sun? It's kind of weird. I don't know. The logic behind these photos and videos escapes me. And it's funny to listen to these people argue about their belief behind these photographs and this Nibiru. It's almost the same kind of logic. And I hate to compare these two, but it's very similar to the flat earthers type of arguments where they're just, I don't know, just out there. Then you add in, this is where it gets a little different, a little out there, a little confusing. Add in the comments made in jest, that means jokingly, by astronomer Paul Cox about a second sun last year. And the conspiracy theorists feel justified in their thoughts that even though there is not a shred of evidence whatsoever of this planet creeping up on Earth, they still believe. They want to believe. That's okay. You can believe all you want. Just don't tell me that I'm wrong when I tell you that it's a lens flare. Now, as far as the purported Planet 9, people are saying, well, they found it. It's there. It's out there. No, they didn't. No one has found the Planet X or Planet 9, which wouldn't that be Planet IX? I don't know. Anyway, there is only mathematical evidence based on orbits of objects in the Kuiper Belt that suggests a planet could be out there, but nothing physical, tangible has been discovered as of yet. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I need to update my research, but last I heard, no celestial body has been discovered. It's all mathematics. So my suggestion, when you put all this together here, don't quit your job at the end of September. I don't think it's going to happen. Rest assured. I mean, I'll go on record as saying, we will not be destroyed by mystery planet on September 23rd. I said it. There you go. Hope you feel more comfortable now. And just like most of the end of the world scenarios, this is just going to pass without incident. And then they'll start on something else. It'll be another date and time and so on and so forth. And we'll go through this again and again and again and again and then again. And then again, probably. So let me throw that in the chat room as well. Flat Earth. I don't know. I don't get it. Oh, yeah. And speaking of end of the world, end of the planet, this is an interesting story here. Real quick, I'll make this quick, painless. All of this fuss about this Nibiru thing, and no one's talking about the scientifically verified 2.7-mile-wide asteroid that has a name. Florence. Yes, Florence. An asteroid has a name, named after Florence Nightingale, I guess. We'll be passing by Earth this Friday, September 1st. So keep your eyes in the skies for that one. No, no, no. The show's not over yet. I'm just saying keep your eyes in the skies. You might see it. I don't know. And the 2.7 miles wide. Now, if this if it were to collide with Earth, yeah, it would inflict a lot of damage, significant damage. But rest assured, again, don't quit your job. Don't go spending all your money. It's going to be a comfortable 4.4 million miles away. So we're pretty safe, no threat. And according to calculations, Florence will not return to Earth's orbit until the year 2500 and is not predicted to be any closer than it is now. 2500. I'll be kind of old by then. I'm not going to really worry about that, I guess. So if you're interested in that link, I'll also throw that into the chat room. Careful not to hit anyone. Boom. All right. So this story is, I don't know. When I first read this, I kind of figured it was a little far-fetched. But reading through it, it is actually a little bit disturbing. You might have heard about the movie called Minority Report. Back in 2002, Tom Cruise. This movie was directed by Steven Spielberg. It was pretty cool. I don't know. Seems like Tom Cruise is the same character in every movie to me. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I just can't stand the guy. I think it was ever since that. Trying to remember the name of that movie. He was a race car driver. That was about it for me. Anyway. The movie was based on the short story written by Philip K. Dick back in 1956. Now, in this story, there were three precogs, as they were called, and they're able to predict murders before they happen. And those who commit these murders in the future are arrested before they can actually murder the person in question, which is a conundrum. The book and movie are considered science fiction and not actually possible. But that's all going to change. It might change. I don't know. It's kind of creepy. And we'll go back to Chicago for this. The city of Chicago, they saw 762 murders in 2016. That's a 59.4% increase from 2015. And over the Independence Day weekend in 2017, over 100 murders were committed in just one weekend. The 7th District Police Precinct has begun using new tools and technology to help predict murders before they happen so that they can help curb violence. Using this technology, the 7th District Precinct has noted a 39% decrease in shootings against last July and a 33% decrease in the number of murders. Other districts using this new technology have also reported between a 15 and 29% less shootings. A decrease, and 9 to 18% less homicides. Now, these tools do not exactly tell the police when and where the next crime will occur, but uses various techniques to assist in determining locations and people that might be dangerous. One tool focuses on information such as weather, crime data, and other resources that help officers determine locations that might have violent crime occur. Another tool is an algorithm that determines people who may pose a violent threat. And together, this information helps determine where to place resources in the field, thus cutting down on potential crime. And another tool being utilized is called SpotShotter. SpotShotter. This technology allows police to determine the source of gunshots so that they can react quicker to a specific area. Oh, that's kind of cool. While it's not quite precognition, this is an advancement in criminology that I can see. It might be applied to other types of crimes in the future beyond violent felonies. And I mean, my goodness, you just think about creating algorithms for all sorts of different things. This may be applied in a lot of other areas. I don't know. It's kind of spooky to me. Yeah, there you have it. So, mentioned earlier in the show that there's a major announcement that's going to be taking place. And where'd he go? I don't see him in the chat room. Huh. Well, this has to do with a couple of people involved in the chat room. And I wasn't going to name names, but I'm going to name a couple names. Major announcement, never been done before. And I live in, well, it's not really a little town. It's like 18,000 people, but we're on the kind of in the middle between Cleveland, Ohio and Akron, Ohio. And I guess suburbs, but we have ties in with Cleveland, I guess. We're somewhat close, 30 miles away in either direction, pretty much smack dab in the middle, but there's stuff in between. I mean, it's not like we're out in the middle of nowhere. But anyway, I've been to a lot of conferences and conventions and been able to speak at a lot of different places over the years, libraries and all sorts of locations. I think I've been doing this since like 2008, I think so. Maybe 9 years or so I've been doing, kind of getting out there on the circuit and talking at different locations. But there's never been one in this area. There was one in Kent, Ohio, which is fairly close to Akron. It's, I don't know, 20 minutes, half hour away from here. But there's never been one here. So I decided, why not? I'm going to put together my own paranormal conference. So the big news is, I know maybe it's not a big deal to you, but it's a big deal to me. First time ever doing this for myself, and the first time ever in the city of Twinsburg, I present the Twinsburg Paranormal Conference. I know, but the wacky thing about this is I'm doing this very early in the year, February 17th. I know. February 17th, 2018, Twinsburg, Ohio, Northeast Ohio. I know it's kind of risky with the weather, but I think people are going to like it. People are going to turn out. This year, it was 50 degrees in Twinsburg. So you never know what the weather can bring. But I think it's an interesting thing. It will bring a lot of people out. Our roads are really never that bad out here, even in the dead of winter. I'm excited about this. And I've got planned 7 different speakers. I've got 5 confirmed already. And one of which is the Monday night host here on WCJV for Crypto Kid Radio. That's right. Colin Schneider will be speaking at the Twinsburg Paranormal Conference, the inaugural Twinsburg Paranormal Conference. Excited about that. And another person, somebody's in the chat room, will also be there. The first, I guess the one and only guest on the Paranormal News Insider. That's right. Dita doesn't know. It's Audrey Hamilton. She will be speaking at this event. I'm excited about that as well. And I got 3 other speakers. I'm not really going to get too much into the 3 other people that have confirmed for this. I got one I got to get with and give out more details for. And you know, I kind of thought I've got a lot of friends, a lot of people I know all around. And I kind of felt like I really didn't want to get too many people from too far away, you know, the Pennsylvania crowd. I mean, Audrey is from Pennsylvania. I don't know. I just felt like I didn't want to put people in that position of feeling like they had to come out here to this when the weather can be risky at that time. You don't know what you're going to get. But I'm very excited about this, and I'll have more information next week, hopefully I'll have a website up and ready for this as well. And we'll talk more about that as we get closer. And who knows? It's going to be fun. It's on a Saturday in Twinsburg. We're going to have food. We're going to have fun. And we're going to have some very dynamic speakers coming your way. So that being said, I still had the book of the week. And as promised, I'm going to talk about something that I don't normally talk about. And that's religion. Wow, I'm going to talk about it. I'm going there. And reason why I'm going to talk about this is spirituality versus religion. Some people think it's the same thing or they're really intertwined. And the book of the week, this is kind of why I'm going this way, is a book that's actually based on kind of a blend of religion and spirituality. And the reason that I want to have this book as the book of the week is because a lot of people come into the ghost field, especially to explore their spirituality, maybe not on purpose. Maybe that's not their intention, but the questions that they seem to ask, it seems as though they're looking for answers to personal questions, kind of introspective things. I don't know, questioning your role in the world. It's essentially the foundation of spirituality. Where are you at? Where you fit in with things and who you are as an individual. I mean, some people want to know where they saw, why they saw Aunt Mildred standing in their bedroom since she passed away 5 years ago. Why did that happen? I want to know. For others, the quest is to join a paranormal team is about answers to what life is and what comes next, which is normal. And obviously religion looks at that as well, but one to know for your personal self kind of borders more on spiritualism. And spiritualism comes from within. It comes from within you, whereas religion comes from pretty much the exterior. And you might find it through organized religion. Spiritualism can be spurred by religion, or you might find it through good or bad things that happen to you personally in your life. Spiritualism is something you grow from within, again, and you carry it every day and every moment. Spiritualism is tied to how we act and how we treat other people, and especially, from my vantage point, how we treat ourselves. Now, that being said, religion, on the other hand, again, comes from the outside. It comes from outside of us. It's an extension of public rituals based on beliefs and mythology. Ouch. I know I'm going to get a lot of hate mail for that one. In many religions, you won't have much of a choice in the matter of what to believe in. Unfortunately, we're better off here in the United States or United Kingdom, wherever you're listening. We have the freedom of choice, but some places you don't have that. And throughout history, we've seen religions bash each other often. Wars are fought over the opposing views of just religious views alone. And we still see that to this day. Races of people murdered just because they didn't believe the same things as other people? It's insanity. Europeans were constantly forcing others to convert away from their established beliefs to their ways of thinking. It still happens. When the natives did not submit, they were systematically wiped out. Granted, the same thing would happen to these cultures if they didn't trade with them either. Just kind of a force of hand type of thing. So religions are essentially, a book of rules that have punishments if they're not followed. I don't know how else to word that. The words of these beliefs are made through various interpretations, and people pick and choose which parts are important and how they think about it and what it means as they live out the rituals associated with them. I'm not saying religion is bad. I'm just kind of trying to paint the picture of reality without sugarcoating it. But I honestly think that if you stand back, you will see organized religion for what it is. It's essentially a business. They make money. A lot of them tax-free. But it's driven by fear and intimidation to an extent. I mean, it sounds like the mafia. And sometimes this fear and intimidation is geared towards those who believe, and other times against those who do not. and it boils down to control of thoughts, beliefs, and a lifestyle. Granted, many of us have a choice. It's just to be clear on one thing. Again, I'm not bashing religion. I'm just trying to paint you a picture here of how some people feel about this, and I feel about this. And just to be clear, religion does not mean God. It's not the same thing. You can believe in God, but not be religious. Although to be religious means you have to believe in some sort of deity. It's funny. It's funny, though. Religions will argue over which God is actually in control. Like, how can each religion have its own God and each God is in control? It just doesn't – stand back and think about that for a second. It doesn't make sense. And now we stand back and laugh at the gods of the Greeks and Romans. I mean, they believed in ridiculous gods and goddesses. I mean, a mountain had a god, lightning had a god, lakes and the sun had a god. That's just crazy, right? But think about it this way. What will future generations think of what we currently believe? Despite what many people think, religions are going to die. What we believe in now, people will not believe in the future. I'm not saying next month or next year, maybe 20 years, maybe even hundreds of years from now. It'll be different. And it'll be reborn through different means. I mean, just as an example, Rastafari. Rastafari was born in the 1930s. It's actually fairly new. And it's an extension of the roots of Judaism, Christianity, Islam, and some other religions. But it's its own religion. It has its own – yeah, I know they smoke pot. But still, it's a different direction. Transcendental meditation, that movement occurred in the 1950s. That was an extension of Hinduism, but it's an altered version. And one of the most outrageous religions out there is Breatharianism. Breatharianism. Breatharians, they believe that it's possible for humans to live on breath alone. No water, no food, just air. I don't know, maybe hot air. You also have the Church of Satan, the Satanic Temple, as well as Wicca. And even spiritualism, not to be confused with spirituality. All these are religions created since the 20th century. So religion is evolving. It's changing all the time, good ways and bad ways. And one religion that is a bit different that relies on spirituality in the absence of religion is Buddhism. There are a few types of Buddhist religions out there. They're all pretty much follow the same basic outlines of beliefs. There's kind of a core values in Buddhism. And this differs from the hundreds of religions that exist that barely agree on anything. They all have different rules. They all have different books, all have different origins, all have different people in control. It's just insane if you just were to stand back and look at all these religions and all the differences. Very few things tie these things together. And one thing that irritates me, when you have conversations and somebody's like, oh, what's your religion? Do you believe in God? Do you believe in this? It's none of your business. I mean, not to be mean, it's not your business what I believe, especially if all you want to do is tell me I'm wrong and hand me a pamphlet and tell me what to believe in. But I'm going to tell you a little bit more about my beliefs. I mean, I think I've pretty much already thrown it there right in your ears. I grew up in a household with a mother and father who grew up with religion, but they didn't really push it on myself and my sister. I went to church primarily for weddings and funerals, as most people do, and I did attend services for various religions with different friends over the years, through my teen years and my 20s. Even though my best friend and his family say I'm an adopted Catholic, that's what they call it. I don't know. But when I'm asked, when people ask me seriously and honestly, with I know they're not going to attack me or anything. When they ask me, I answer, I am a Buddhist. I know that sounds weird, and it sounds weird to say at times, but these are my beliefs. These are things that I can relate to, I guess. And it's interesting because being a Buddhist is not a matter of accepting a belief system or memorizing doctrines or attending services to be reminded of what to think or feel on a regular basis. It's about cultivating your own spirituality. And I consider myself a fairly spiritual person. And ever since I began going to school for metaphysics, I began to really take a look at that again. And I've considered myself a Buddhist for a long time, probably longer than I've been in the paranormal, well over 20 years. And I've read a lot of books about it and a lot of information about it. And a lot of them are kind of confusing. And they spend way too much time talking about history and all of these other things. But again, it all boils down to some basic concepts. One being the Four Noble Truths, which are covered in every single book on Buddhism. And the book of the week that I'm talking about here is a book on Buddhism. And it's a very simplistic book. It's very simple. It doesn't push – well, no Buddhism really pushes it as a religion that you should believe in or you need to believe in. But this is actually a great book because it's very simplistic, and it also is – it's kind of a self-help book. And self-help books are probably one of the largest areas of books out there, largest selling type of book, I would think. And because people always want direction. They want to be kind of not really necessarily told what to think or how to think, but they want help. They want direction. And this book here, even though it is on Buddhism, it doesn't really come across that way except for pretty much the beginning and the end. But the core chunk of this book really helps you become more about cultivating your spiritualism, your own self, your own person within you. And I'm not trying to force anybody to look at Buddhism by presenting this book as the book of the week. It's just something else to look at because Buddhism embraces all types of religions. So I think it's just fair that any other religion were to view Buddhism for what it can provide you. And I don't agree with everything with Buddhism. And a couple of things that tie Buddhism into the paranormal is the fact of reincarnation. They believe heavily in reincarnation. That's pretty much the whole thing. You're trying to obtain nirvana to break out of this cycle of rebirth. And again, it's very tied in heavily to spiritualism. Let me find. Okay, here we go. So the book of the week this week is a book called Taming the Mind. And it's written by the Venerable Thubten Shadrin. And she's written a lot of books, a lot of great books on Buddhism. But this one is probably one of my favorites. She wrote a book, Buddhism for Beginners, which is, I don't know, it's kind of – I'd already read a lot of books on Buddhism at the time that I read that one. And I don't know, it was just too simplistic with me, but a whole bunch of other books. She's very involved with Buddhism as a whole. There are parts of this book that are a little bit, maybe a little bit like really pushing Buddhism, but it really explains it very, very well. And it's interesting too. And one of the reasons, another reason why I chose this as the book of the week is at the end of the book, towards the back here, actually talks about modern day Buddhism. And one of the first chapter in this last section of the book is it talks about what Buddhism says about ghosts, fortune telling, and psychic powers, which I found really interesting when I first read this book. And this book has been out for 2004, 13 years. And so I remember reading about that and I found that very interesting to read about Buddhism and ghosts and fortune telling and psychics and all those things, how it is correlated. And there's certain things that, in history that Buddhism has done, like burning paper, which isn't really something that's practiced now. But it's interesting. I really felt like I wanted to bring something spiritual to the show as far as a book of the week and just kind of go in a different direction. And again, I'm not trying to push religion on anyone. It's just a different way of looking at life, a different way of looking at who you are from the inside out. instead of the outside in. So take it for what you will. Read it, don't read it. It's not going to affect me, but I think just as I found some very useful information and left some of the stuff that I didn't care for out, I think you as well will be able to find something from this book. And I don't have the cover. Thought I had the cover in here. I don't see it. Did have the cover. I was going to put it in the chat room, but I don't seem to have that. I don't know why. Anyway, book of the week, Taming the Mind by Thubten Chaudhrin is the book of the week this week. And we'll think I have it. Here it is. So I'll throw that in the chat room there. Boom. Watch out. Here comes a big book. There it is. So yeah, interesting. Different direction. And, you know, I thought, hey, you know, we talk about all this ghost stuff and these other belief books. Why not something that's bordering on religion and spirituality? So there you have it. There you go. And that's it for me. Wow. Hour. So big thanks to Cindy, my producer. She does a lot of hard work. You guys have no idea. To Dita in the chat room for corralling everybody. Everyone else for tuning in. I appreciate it. The chat room is full. I love you guys. Thank you very much for tuning in. It keeps me going. It really does. I really appreciate you guys being in there, listening, at least hanging out. Even if you're not listening to me, that's fine. And remember, you can listen to the Paranormal News Insider and the rest of WCJV Digital Broadcasting on the WCJV app, available on iOS and Android devices. And you can download that app at the App Store or get it on Google Play and do it in about 3 minutes. And then come back at 9 o'clock Eastern. And WCJV can now be found on iHeartRadio and iTunes and is available through SoundCloud, MixCloud, YouTube, and many other podcasting apps. So listen to it. There's no reason not to. It's out there. Find it and listen. Great network. Great shows. We're expanding. I'm excited about that, and I hope you are as well. But for now, I'll see you next week. Keep your eyes in the skies, your ears in the woods, the hair standing on the back of your neck, and always keep your mind slightly ajar. And above all else, don't stop believing. For the Paranormal News Insider, this is Dr. Brian D. Parsons reporting.